Well, I don't have any words for what it's like to be back. This is just amazing. I'm so glad to see you all. It's hard to believe it's been so long. It's been months. Well, life goes on. It's quite amazing. And life gets better sometimes. It's really...
There's a story about the Maitreya Buddha who had to wait several kalpas.
It's like that. It's like that. The several kalpas, but what the heck? Yes, yes, and it's all over. It's quite remarkable. And when I did the service just now, I realized how much I hurt before, and I don't hurt anymore. So it was all worth it. And I didn't realize I was hobbling around and experiencing as much pain as I was. Just begin to accept it, you know. Ellie knows. It just becomes a part of the background of your life. And then when it goes away, it's like a miracle. Oh my gosh, it's not there anymore. So, it's happy times. And of course, I am just endlessly grateful for all the enormous amount of help that I received. I just can't believe what you all did. It's just almost inconceivable how you all took care of me. I felt like a baby. You took out my garbage and clipped my toenails and got my groceries and just made my bed. It was fabulous. I couldn't have done it otherwise. It wouldn't have worked. And just keeping the whole thing going, which is what Ellie did, sort of central headquarters for everything.
Everybody did a lot.
Oh, I know they did.
We all enjoyed it, and it was really a gift to us, too.
So. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I did. I just thought it was great. I kind of regretted how when it was over. I have to take my own garbage up now.
You aren't, are you?
Yes, I am.
I thought the garbage men were coming to take it.
They are, but I have to take it up to the garage.
I see. I see.
So I'm not going to the top of the hill yet. I'm eager to do it, but I'm not there yet. But I managed Chikochi with a lot of help. I just hung on to Jane Jasper's arm, basically. And she just walked me everywhere. Nobody would let me go by myself, not even for a minute. No, it's like I just...
You had to ask permission to go to the bathroom?
Just about. And after all that, I did fall.
Did you?
Yeah, the last minute of Sesshin, I fell. In the Zendo, as I walked out in the foyer, I stepped on something very sharp.
Oh.
And with the hurt leg, and I just totally lost my balance and crashed to the floor. And everybody came rushing out of the Zendo like ants out of a hole, you know, saying, "Oh, what's the matter? Are you all right?" And I was fine.
You didn't hurt anything?
No.
Was Jane with you right there?
She was, but I'd let her go.
Yeah. Oh. She was behind you?
Yes, she was behind me, but not far enough behind to catch me.
Did you fall on the hill?
No, I fell on my back. Yeah.
Was this out in the foyer, right as you were going outside?
Just out past the curtains.
Oh.
There was one of the mats has a funny little edge and a corner that sticks up, And I think I stepped on that, but it was like stepping on a nail. It was enormously painful. I just, like that, just like in the movies, you know, like a cartoon. Crash. Yeah. So I vowed not to do that anymore.
Not to do what?
Fall.
How do you know?
Well, that's my vow. Who knows whether it will be kept. But I'm working with a therapist now.
Yeah, how could you have avoided it? It's
I could not. I could not.
It was something there in that
house. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're okay.
Then I'm okay.
Well, she hopes she's okay.
She's here.
Yep.
How is Sashin, Angie? Is it a good one?
Very, very quiet. Very, very quiet. There's a lot of practiced people, a couple of beginners who really got it, and a lot of men, which was surprising. Huge shoes outside the door. And it was really probably the most quiet one I've ever sat up there. People just didn't talk. And there was some confusion, of course, there always is. But we had a wonderful Eno who volunteered, who is one of, she started out with Catherine Thanis, this is Beata Chapman, and she was a longtime student of Catherine, and then that didn't work at the end, and so she went to
Darlene
Cohen. And for the last couple of years of Darlene's life, she was very close to Darlene Cohen as her student, and then was devastated when Darlene died. And, of course, then I moved into Spot and took Darlene's place. So little by little, Beata and I become acquainted and more so. And when we ended up with no Eno, we ended up with nothing except a Tenzo and a Fukuten. Though it was a Jikoji Sesshin, they didn't have anybody to help put the whole Sesshin together or even incense or flowers or anything. So suddenly they just expected Floating Zendo to do everything. And Beata stepped in and said she would be the Eno, and she just did a wonderful job. She kept the whole thing on track and in balance, and people, you know, stood up and took part and bumbled through. You know, it was hard. People took jobs that they'd never done before and made a lot of mistakes.
And showed them. Who told them how?
Well, Beata knew. She knew a lot. You know, she's a priest and has been for a long time.
Well, and Jane was there.
And Jane was there. And, of course, she's always telling people what to do. So.
And Paula was there.
And Paula was there. Yeah. Yeah, so it all worked out. It worked out really well. And I just loved being there. It was so nice. I got to walk down to the pond a couple of times and see the milkmaids in bloom down by the gate, which I love on the February Sesshin, these tiny little white flowers that just bloom this one time of year. So it was a very precious time. And it gave me some confidence that I can carry on. No, I think I'm fine. No. Ah, thanks to you all for holding the fort, keeping the walls going and the floors and the atmosphere and all of that. It's just been marvelous. And Skype.
Yes.
How you did that, I don't know.
Just in time, I lost my phone.
Oh, that's what the message was about. I didn't understand it.
Just in time.
That's very funny.
How are you going to do it when you're walking around? You've got to be no more of this. You have to watch where you're going.
Well, that was good timing, wasn't it? They're lost all the time, or stolen. Lots of them are just lifted. So
they can find them with the GPS.
I haven't activated that.
Yeah, there's a great story about that, but this is probably not the time to tell it. So, we're almost at the end. We're at the penultimate chapter. There are two more chapters after this, but the last one is so short that I think we can just put them together. But we're on chapter 30. If somebody can read it.
I can. Okay. 30. Furthermore, Subhuti, if a noble son or daughter took as many worlds as there are specks of dust in a billion-world universe, and by an expenditure of limitless energy ground them into a multitude of atoms, Subhuti, what do you think? Would there be a great multitude of atoms? Subhuti replied, so there would, Bhagavan, so there would, Sugata. There would be a great multitude of atoms. And why? If a great multitude of atoms existed, Bhagavan, the Tathagata would not have spoken of a multitude of atoms. And why? Bhagavan, this multitude of atoms of which the Tathagata speaks is said by the Tathagata to be no multitude. Thus is it called a multitude of atoms. Also, Bhagavan, this billion-world universe of which the Tathagata speaks is said by the Tathagata to be no universe. Thus is it called a billion-world universe. And how so? Bhagavan, if a universe existed, attachment to an entity would exist. But whenever the Tathagata speaks of attachment to an entity, the Tathagata speaks of it as no attachment. Thus is it called attachment to an entity. The Buddha said, Subhuti, attachment to an entity is inexplainable and inexpressible, for it is neither a dharma nor no dharma. Foolish people, though, are attached.
Thank you. So Chao Ming calls this the meaning of the concept of entities. The meaning of the concept of entities. Or Hui Nen calls it the principle of the compound. So it's about the bits and pieces. Not one, not two. That's why it's so hard to talk about. This billion world universe of which we are such a tiny part can't be called a thing. And we ourselves can't be called a thing, an entity. As soon as we do, we're making a mistake because we're made up of so many entities. We're an entity of entities. And those entities are entities of entities. No, there are as many people living in our gut as there are human beings on the earth at this point. And in the gut of those beings in our gut are beings. And those beings are made of bits and pieces also, of course, just as we are. And so Buddha takes the big picture and the little picture. You know, if you grind it all up, then you have infinite number of little bits and pieces. Or if you put it, look at the whole big picture, it's so big you can't even begin to imagine it. So that attaching to anything as permanent or stable or fixed is a little crazy. Of course, we do attach in a temporary way, but our temptation is to attach in a grasping way, in a way that keeps us attached to ourself, thinking that the self itself is something, rather than an accumulation of bits and pieces that has accumulated through all the years of our life. We've soaked up everything that came into us, and a lot of it we don't even know is there. But we tend to become possessive of it and to create a situation in which we are protecting it and revising our story about it. And that's what Buddha means by attachment. We're attached to the self, when in fact it's not like that. So, Red Pine says, Zen master, swallow the world and all its mountains and rivers. And the reason they can do this is because mountains and rivers do not themselves exist, but are simply names we give to momentary combinations of causes and conditions that are themselves momentary combinations of causes and conditions. The universe is made of specks of dust, made of specks of dust, made of specks of dust, that form universes, that form universes, that form universes. Zen masters swallow names and concepts, while the entities they represent change. Mountains and rivers and the 10,000 things all change. If they did not, we would be in trouble. We would have no hope of liberation. But because nothing exists as an independent, permanent entity, there are no obstructions on the path to enlightenment. Foolish people, though, refuse to walk this path. They see nothing but obstructions. Buddhas see offerings and turn these offerings into dharmas. I think that's a very cool way of expressing it. That what we think of as obstructions getting in our way are offerings to which we can respond. Thich Nhat Hanh said, if we think that anything is really a self-existent composite, we are caught by our attachment to that object of mind. And it is an object of mind. We think it's out there, but it's really in here. We cannot make any statement about the true nature of reality. Words and ideas can never convey reality. We must go beyond all concepts if we want to be in touch with the true nature of all things. So when I talk about the untalkaboutable, I'm reminding myself and us not to get too caught with trying to identify and name what we're experiencing. That life is an experience from which we clumsily identify and name, but it's all very, very tenuous, very provisional, and we can stop and change everything anytime we want. I have a friend who used to take kids on nature walks and help them to give new names. Instead of naming all the things that they saw, he would say, "Now, what do you think this funny animal is?" And it would be a banana slug. And then they would make up a name for the banana slug. And he said, a lot of them were really great names. You know, this is a maple leaf. Well, they had another name for the maple leaf. And it gives them not only a sense of nature, but of what the naming really is about. That it's a clumsy way of identifying for us temporarily so that we can make our way through the world. But the reality of it is not in the name. There's no way we can truly name it, name anything, without leaving most of it out. That's why sometimes we say everything we say is all lies. We can't really tell the truth. The truth is too big. However, there's more to this than that, and that is that this is about the Buddha's own body. He's been circling around this. You know, whether it's the Sambhogakaya or the Nirmanakaya or the Dharmakaya, which body is this Tathagata that they're talking about? The Buddha, says Red Pine, has finally brought us to his own body, the body of a Tathagata, which neither comes nor goes, and which is our own true body. So when he talks about grinding up the world into little bits and pieces, as many specks of dust in a billion world universe, he knows people will try to view such a body in terms of its unity of form as a thing, or in terms of its multiplicity of elements as a bunch of things. So he provides this example using large and small entities of dust that everybody knows about. So Li Wenhui says, atoms of dust are delusions, and the universe is another name for our body. Atoms of dust are the cause, the universe is the effect. But our own true nature has no cause or effect. Once we realize this, there are no atoms of dust. So how could the universe exist? Thus, what is not an atom of dust is called an atom of dust, and what is not a universe is called a universe. So that's playing with how words work in our mind again. If we call it a universe, then suddenly you've got a thing that's limited. And if you say it's not a universe, then that opens up the whole possibility of huge universe. the negative releases the mind from the obstruction of definition. It's this. But if it's not this, and the not this defines it as this, then you suddenly have this place where you can't say. But we all can experience it. Hui Neng says, the mind is the root of good and evil. It can be foolish or wise. Its movement and stillness cannot be fathomed. It is vast and without borders. Thus, it is called a universe. So in the end, we have to say, I can't say. I can't say. Red Pine says one more thing. If any entity actually existed, we could not escape being attached to it. Our lives would revolve around it like planets around a star. But because we are attached to entities that do not really exist, the Buddha asks us to examine and discover the true nature of these entities and to free ourselves of our attachment to them. Ever since Chapter 4, the Buddha has been trying to put to rest this omnipresent belief at the core of our delusions, this belief in an entity, in something separate in time or space or mind. All of these entities are entities that our self could not manage to incorporate, and the existence of which it has reluctantly had to admit. And yet none of them is real. But if none of them is real, then neither is the self real. For if there is nothing outside, there can be nothing inside. So Suzuki Roshi says this about practice. You cannot practice true Zazen because you practiced it. If you do not, then there is enlightenment. And there is true practice. When you create some concrete idea of you or I, you create some particular idea of practice or Zazen. So you are on the right, Zazen on the left. So you and Zazen are two things. This kind of misunderstanding will vanish if you understand that emptiness means everything is already here. One whole being isn't an accumulation of parts. It's always here, always waking. Other questions? Ron?
Isn't there one more little short chapter that says something?
There are two more chapters, one short one and one fairly much, a little longer.
Yeah, I think we're done with three of them. I read the other day, you know, they have all these great courses, DVDs you can get, so it was intriguing. Somebody has a course on cosmology, which says this professor is going to tell you how the universe may be begun and how it will end. But then if it never started, it doesn't exist, how can it end? Well, just. I don't know. I just thought that was it. They still don't really know. These people who theorize about it, they're really not quite sure.
No, I know.
And they change their theory every few years lately.
It gets more and more complicated, too. Yeah.
But I guess the point is, you know, the sutra and the commentators are saying it doesn't really exist. It just means that it only exists in our mental, because we kind of create it.
Yes, but it's not negative.
It's not us, it's just...
Yes. That's why that fellow who... I've forgotten the story now. I know he camped out beside a creek and listened to the sound of the stream all night long and then wrote a poem about it saying the sound of this stream is Buddha's long tongue and it's chanting sutras all night long. So it isn't that there's nothing there. It isn't that emptiness means it's all a blank and that this is just bits and pieces that's meaningless, is that the whole thing is Buddha's body. The whole inconceivability of it is our experience of Buddha itself.
But it doesn't mean that Buddha is it, does it?
There isn't any it. There's just everything.
But why do we put the name Buddha then? Why do we use that name?
Not as the person, of course, but as the mind of the universe says. We could. Krishnamurti always said we could call it Coca-Cola. You know? But Buddha is means awake,
right.
And so saying Buddha means paying attention.
So we're not talking about a being, we're talking about a state.
Yes, a state of mind. Exactly.
Because we keep referring to it. I'm just worried when I talk to my Christian mom what I would call it.
Yes. You can call it anything you want.
Yeah. Well, she's praying for me, so I'm okay.
That's good.
We need all the prayers we can get.
We have a guy at work, and he's from China, you know, so it's how I got to know him. But he mentioned that he's a Christian. He came here to study, and he's staying. He doesn't want to go back there. And I said, so, yeah, Christian is kind of not really recognized there exactly. So, well, there's two churches. There's the government sponsored one, and there's the family sponsored one, the family church. Well, you could have to be, don't you sort of have to be careful?
Right, those are secret.
And he said, well, yeah. Now we have Chinese Twitter. So that's how they do it. They just set up their meetings.
Yes. And clandestine meetings.
And now he's trying to convert this other Chinese guy. So that kind of worried me for us. Oh, these guys, you know, here they go again. Converting to them. But then I just said, that's good.
Yeah. That's good.
I wish them much.
Absolutely.
And you know, that because we decide we're Buddhists, right? And we go through all our lives. Then we got from here to here and here, and we thought we had to do this, and we meditated. But then we become attached to it.
Yes. Yes.
Reality that we've created of Buddhism.
That's right.
So, I mean, who's to say that Christians are not.
Well.
Just as good. Or
they're just as Christian as we are Buddhists, which means it's all very tenuous and unreal.
Different way to.
Yes.
The idea of the Buddha's body, they have the Christ body or something.
Yeah.
Or the Trinity, if they want to get really fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad, what's Brad's last name?
Warner
is writing a book in which he's going to call Buddha God. I'm very curious about that. I think it's a mistake, but it's another effort to express this unexpressibility that we're struggling with and trying to unite around it in some way as a community, trying to find ways toward each other in terms of the mystery of being alive on the earth as human being, as being these minds. And of course there's all this about neurology now and what is the self, and the Zen neurology. The guy who wrote Zen and the Brain has written several more books about how the brain works and what Zazen actually does in the brain stem and in the belly and the heart. It's all our bodies working in terms of the dynamics of the universe, really. And we hardly understand it. The cover of Science News is about the self. What is the self? What is the I? It's amazing. It's really fascinating. So it's after 8. I'm sorry to say, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming out tonight and abandoning your sweeties. I mean, this is Valentine's. I didn't think anybody would be here. What sweetie? Right. Well, we're starting new days. So next week, I guess we should talk about what to do next. And I suspect you will have some ideas about that. I hope.